The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, deliverance from your afflictions.
You're going, Beth, you got a man that loves you. You got kids. You got grandkids. I'm going to tell you something. I'd run all of them off had Jesus not delivered me. I wouldn't have wanted to. I would have destroyed my marriage. I would have raised the weirdest children in the whole state of Texas.
Overcoming Affliction, next on Life Today.
Joining us on Life Today. I'm Betty, and this is James, and it's Wednesdays with Beth.
And she's talking about affliction, and I think that's something that everyone experiences sometimes unnecessarily. We heap it on one another in relationships where people get after one another, and it seems like sometimes that can be fairly prevalent in churches and among people who profess faith in Christ, that we afflict one another. But afflictions do come. Trouble is bound to come, and it does. How do you handle it? Well, I think Beth Moore can help us with that. I want to mention something that I think you'll find to be a tremendous help to you. If you'll go to lifetoday.org, there's a tremendous, reference or numerous references to resources that can bless you and be a help to you. We have also an estate planning service that we offer, which will help you. Now, think about what I'm saying. It will help you help those you love. You know, as Betty and I get older, and we'll be married soon 50 years, and as we have watched a lot of our friends go to be with the Lord, we have seen that many people did not make adequate preparation to take a lot of load and burden off of their family and their children, and even their grandchildren. And many did not make proper plans to take care of what God had entrusted to their watch care. And we can really save you and your loved ones and your family not only a lot of trouble by showing you some things to do that will make everything easier and better, but also how you can take what God has given you and really bless a lot of people in ways that you would want to. Very, very much you would want to do it. So go to the website. Go to the Estate Planning Services. You'll find a place to click, get information. We have some material to send you. We've also got someone who'll be glad to help you if you'll give them that opportunity. So I hope you'll take advantage of it. Here's Beth, and she is talking about affliction. Let's welcome Beth Moore this year.
Recap before we go to number three. Let's recap one and two for people who have joined us in our present series on affliction. Number one, we learned that an affliction is something that can make you feel, you tell me, that can make you feel alone. The psalmist said, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely," and what's our key word? Afflicted. You can feel alone in it. And we agreed, we nodded heads in here that yeah. When mine's flared up, and then I have that sense of feeling isolated and alone. And number three is going to be based on the definition I'm going to give you. Remember that the earlier definition said that it could be any kind of real extreme discomfort or oppression. It could be physical. It could be mental. It could be spiritual. So the same thing would be expressed in the theological word book of the Old Testament, but it takes it to a place where now I believe you're going to be able to go in any situation, no matter whether we've named them, in any situation, you'd be able to go, yes, that's an affliction, or no, it is not. This word, this Hebrew word that is translated affliction in the Old Testament, the primary meaning of it, according to the theological word book of the Old Testament, is to force. This is a really important part of it. To try to force submission. at the primary meaning of it, if you were just trying to wrap your mind around, like, give me in a nutshell, give me in a phrase, give me in half a sentence, what would you call an affliction? Something that is trying to get you. I'm gonna give it a persona for a moment, as if it's a thing with that's animated. Something that is trying to get you to submit to it. Something that just wants to have mastery over you. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Like when something, like we talked about infertility with Hannah a little earlier. This would be a perfect example of something that's just like, it can become something that you're just underneath, where it becomes almost an obsession. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It tries to force you into some kind of submission. That brings us to number three, so we can put it out in a point. Affliction always involves submission. Affliction always involves submission. Here's where our wonderful news comes, because God can use an affliction. Girlfriend and guyfriend, God can use an affliction. And the whole purpose, and this is why good and bad, I always want you to think, when you think the word affliction, think submission. Affliction, submission. Affliction, submission. Every time you think the one, think the other. Get it so deeply in your thoughts that when one comes up, the other comes up in your mind, where you can think, okay, the key way to remember what it means is that affliction always involves, tell me the word. It is a thing that draws us to submit to it. Unforgiveness. Oh. Because it's just begging you to submit to your bitterness. Begging you to submit to your unforgiveness. Where it's just like mastered you. That is a huge area of affliction. But God's purpose for it, if He ever leaves it, we're going to talk about being delivered from it, but if He chooses for a time, or maybe permanently, not to remove it. Now, it will never be a matter of sin He won't remove. Like if it's unforgiveness, then it's removed from us by forgiving. But when it's a different kind of matter, like some of the others that we mentioned, when it comes to this matter, what God's intention always is, and this is how we would also learn to forgive, He is using the affliction to get us to submit to Him every single time. The only reason it's been left any length of time in your life, especially after you've asked to be delivered from it, is because God wants to use it to get you to submit to Him. It's asking us, and again, I'm giving it its own persona as if it is animated. It's begging us to submit to it. But every time we get that sense that it's trying to get me to bow the knee to it, we turn around and we bow our knees before the throne. Because every time we think affliction, we must think, tell me the word, submission. Okay, I'm going to tell you in the future part of our series, one of my ongoing areas of affliction, but mine used to be, I have been delivered from the big one of my past. And it was what I will call a victim affliction. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just a victim affliction. And it followed me well into adulthood, where I would just put myself in the position over and over and over again to be victimized. And it wasn't always one way. It could be all sorts of ways. Early on in my life, it started as sexual victimization. But as I grew older, it just becomes a pattern in your life. And then you're in a situation constantly. I had so many great friends. I'm so glad that the Lord let me correct what I was about to say. I have been so blessed by so many relationships, but I had a pattern of just attracting bullied type people. Anybody else? They were just really, that were really, really strong willed and that I would feel like I couldn't have an opinion with. You know, you're thinking, well, you seem strong willed to me. Thank you, Jesus. I hand you exhibit A, Jesus Christ, who makes us a different person. But I repeated that pattern over and over again. And God, in one of the biggest, if not, I'm going to go ahead and say the biggest, next to my salvation, the biggest thing He ever delivered me from was my own victimization, my own victim affliction, that I would find myself in a situation where I just didn't feel the freedom to go. You know, I didn't even feel like I had the freedom to break up with someone. I didn't feel like I had the freedom to go, you know what? The thing of it is, I don't like you. You know what I'm saying? When we realize that we've had a friend for many, many years that we can't stand. And I mean, we want to love them in the Lord. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? But it's like, you know what? This is not a nice person. This is not a nice person. I'm oppressed every time I'm with her. I mean, listen, pray for her, but I'm just saying, honestly, do you have to be her best friend when she mistreats you over and over again? Is anybody listening? So you just have to ask yourself, well, I put myself in that position over and over and over. And God delivered me. God delivered me. And, you know, I attract a different kind of friend now because I am a different kind of person. And then if I realize, well, okay, here, this is a little odd, at least then I know I don't have to dump the friend. I can have a good, healthy boundary. Actually, Jesus tells me what to do. And, you know, I got my man who I trust. But you don't get to be my God. I have one already. Anybody? It was huge. There's no way I could put it in a big enough font, bold enough, red enough, italicized enough. Huge. That was my big deliverance. And it marked everything about my life, everything. It is my freedom. It is my freedom. And so what I want you to understand as we begin to draw this first half of our series on affliction to a close, I want you to be thinking with me that we want to pray to be delivered. I want you to hear the psalmist as he cries out. We've been in Psalm 25, really centered on verse 18. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. This next verse is going to become so important to his next half. Consider how many are my foes and with what violent hatred they hate me. Oh, guard my soul and deliver me. You and I want to pray to be delivered from our affliction. We want to. Listen, don't just be a glutton for punishment. I mean, for crying out loud, what in a New Testament concept, if we were to say, okay, what would be the New Testament concept of this Old Testament affliction? Probably Paul's thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And remember, he asked numerous times to be delivered from it. And we want to have that same pattern, that until we get a flat out repeated no, no, and I don't want to hear about it again, no. You understand what I'm saying? Not out loud, but just in our, we're over and over, we ask, and then God says, then there's some reason why it's left, and that's going to be the next part of our series. Why, and what do we do with it? But by all means, your first response to it is, Lord, deliver me. Deliver me. Now, until then, what do? We submit, because we remember that with every time I think affliction, I'm going to think submission. I'm either submitting at all. Thank you, Lord. At all times, we are in an affliction, we are submitted either to the affliction or to Jesus Christ. Always. So it's just where you want. Your knees are down. The legs are buckled. So it's just who are you kneeling in front of? Because it's either going to be the affliction or it's going to be your deliverer. Either way, what we're going to learn is affliction never gets to be our excuse for defeat. Never, never, never. You might have an addiction affliction, and it may be that God removes the yearning and you never have it again. Or it may be that you have it every day for the rest of your life. It depends on what God's point is. Very often, if his point is supremacy, he just wants you to see he is a huge God capable of anything, you might get delivered from it. But there are other times when he leaves a thorn because his point is not necessarily supremacy. It is sufficiency. My grace is sufficient. And every day with that craving, you'll get up and hit your knees and go, I'm going to tell you something, Lord. I cannot make it till noon without you. If you're not on me and in me, I will not make it till noon. And so you know what you do? You make it to noon on Jesus Christ. And then you make it to supper, and then you make it to midnight, and then you make it through the dark night. And the reason why I can talk to this is because I come from a very addictive, addictive family with a whole lot of addiction problems and a whole lot of addictive kinds of traits of my own. I get this one. I get this one. And if that's you, pray to be delivered. And if you're not, his point is, you will live on me as surely as you snorted, as surely as you drank, as surely as you turned to that obsessive behavior, you will live on me. You'll have to think about me all the time to make it. Do you know what happened out of that with me? See, I didn't get to do gray. I did not get to. If I'm near gray, this is just the pull of my flesh. If I am in the gray, I fall back into the black hole. I have to live over here. Other people get to go days sometimes without really getting in the scriptures. Not me. Not me. I've been too many places. I've been down too deep. I've been too broken. I have been too caught in bondage in my past. I can't get away with that. I can't get away with that. I've said so many times, I'm about 3 weeks away from the next big pit, should you take my Bible from me today. About 3 weeks, I'd give myself. That's been a beautiful thing to me, because desperation can be a gift. Sufficiency. You will live off of me. And when you die, you will get to look at my face and go, I lived off of you. I lived off of you. I said to the Lord this morning, and I meant it, these were not pious words. I said to him, you're my whole life. You're my whole life. I got nothing without you. I got nothing without you. You're going, Beth, you got a man that loves you. You got kids. You got grandkids. I'm going to tell you something. I'd run all of them off had Jesus not delivered me. I wouldn't have wanted to. I would have destroyed my marriage. I would have raised the weirdest children in the whole state of Texas. You're my whole life. You're my whole life. Till then, I want you to know that God sees. The Lord sees your affliction, the scripture says. What I also love is it says he hears. And he heard Hagar's affliction. He hears an affliction in the moans and groans, even when you don't make a sound, in the silence. Affliction makes a noise. And God sees. He responds, and you bow. You bow because girlfriend and guy friend, you're bowing anyway. Choose where you'll bow.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
Well, Beth is so right. It's a fact that what we hear and we say, the sounds we make, we may recognize, but God is looking at what's going on under the surface. And he really sees, he not only sees the challenge or the pain or the problem or the failure or the hurt, disappointment, whatever it might be, but he also sees the source, the true source. He also knows about the response. And he knows the correct way to respond. Father, I pray that you will help everyone who is listening today to be able to know how to properly deal with affliction and challenges that come and really receive your direction. Guide them in Jesus' name. We want to show you some of the, I would say, the most serious forms of challenge, or what we might even classify as a form of an affliction, and that is the challenges that people face when they cannot get access to clean water. You're going to hear a heart cry that really can be answered. you're going to hear what you could easily interpret as a prayer, someone crying out. You not only have the answer, you really are the answer to this heart cry, to this problem, this challenge. Watch closely. It's absolutely incredible that she would say, I would give my life. But she doesn't have to. We can give her clean water. Betty, we can give that community where she lives a fresh water well. And you and I have already committed to drill a well in that area. There are areas right there of similar circumstances where we need wells. We've committed to drill with your help, and that's the only way we can do it, just like Betty and I can do something, but to drill 500 water wells. That's how you solve the problem she's concerned about. We are the answer. We hold the answer to their future.
Well, you know, James, as I sit there, because we're grandparents. I'm a grandmother of 11 grandchildren. And she was the prayer that a grandmother would pray for her granddaughter, for her health, for her to have a long life and to be safe. But she doesn't have a choice in the water that she gives her granddaughter. And so that's the problem. We can help solve that problem. She can't. That's why they're crying out for help. Let's do join together and drill these water wells so that we can be part of the prayer, the answer prayer of that grandmother for her granddaughter.
Yeah, we really are the answer and the hope for the whole community. And if we'll just do our part expressing God's heart. Now, Betty and I said that we asked God years ago to give us the ability to give a well. And that was when we were drilling a well with an emphasis once a year. And then we found the need was so great and the effect was so great, we began to emphasize it twice a year and began to drill more wells. And we said, God, every time we have the call from the missionaries, we want to be an answer to the prayer. And God enabled us to do that. And we're asking God to enable everybody to do that, that He puts it on their heart. But here's what really works. Because if everybody will just do their part, and this thing I want you to see, it's very significant. $48 of that $4,800, if you will give $48, that's going to give water to 10 people. Because each well services at least 1,000 people. And when you break that down, it's $4.80 for every person. Now, that's a very small amount, but it's a huge, huge blessing. Would you dial that number and say, all right, James, I can do something? $144, 30 people water the rest of their life. $1,200 and say, Lord, raise up three more to give $1,200. Ask God to raise up others to join you. We got a well. $2,400, somebody matches you. But there's some of you as a couple, as an individual, as a small business, as a church group, prayer group. We've got children who spend time raising the funds to drill a well. Very young children. So when it's in your heart to do it, you can do it. And there's some of you right now who say, you know, God's blessed me. I can give a well. I want to ask you to take your bank card and use it like a check, would you? That's how you use them. And make the gift God put on your heart. If you write a check, make it to Life, but we need you to call and tell us you're putting it in the mail. We need to know it's coming. We need to let the missionaries and those that are drilling the wells know you can count on us. We're going to be able to fund it. Would you make that call? If you want to go online, lifetoday.org, you can go there and make the gift. We've got some blessed gifts for you to be an inspirational blessing in your life. We want to send them to you to say thank you so much. Please go to the phone or go online and make that gift, and thank you for doing it.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice: drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Beth Moore's Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights, a beautiful new daily devotional to begin and end your day in God's presence. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request Morning and Evening, I Will Praise You, a 2-CD collection of 20 instrumental hymns and a companion book that shares the stories behind each hymn. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water, by artist Robert Summers. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
Ask God to enable you to drill a well. Would you just ask Him? Children are doing it. In other words, there's a way to get it done if we'll seek God's guidance. And God's put it on our heart to give water to every person on this earth that has no access to clean water. We're not talking about water to play in. We're not talking about water parks. We're not even talking about water that you always have enough to bathe in. We're talking about access to clean water that's not contaminated so you can drink it. In whatever circumstances you're in, live a healthy life and have a chance at life. Then tell everyone about the water of life. If you can make a gift and ask for that anniversary bronze, please do so. We're sending Beth Moore's Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights. You know what a blessing she is. These devotionals in the morning and at night will really, really, I believe, lighten your load, brighten your day and your life. Thank you so much for watching. From the bottom of our heart, thank you for helping us share water.
You know, I think for all of my life, I felt that I had to measure up to this one or to that one or to that one.
Perfect Lies, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.